Hi everybody, this is Tim Brennan with TacticsTime.com, and today I have a very special guest, Fred Spell. Thanks for being here, Fred.
Yeah. Hi Tim, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, definitely. Let's start off talking about how did you first get interested in chess?
Well, actually, it was quite a long time ago. I was about 11 years old, and some friends of mine at the time taught me how to play the game. Unfortunately, when I went back home, my dad had an old book, actually an old Fred Reinfeld book. I know it was probably published back in the early 60s or something like that, and I read over the rules, and it turns out that I was taught wrong.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I went back to these guys and said, hey, come on, what's going on here? Because when they taught me, they said you actually had to capture the king in order to win the game. So it was kind of amusing. But anyways, I started back then. I got in there just before the Fisher boom, so that tells you about how old I am. And when I got, so it was about 72 or so when Fisher won his championship, and that's when I really started getting into it. Started playing a lot and what have you. And then for some reason, when I hit my teenage years, I guess that's the way it is, I just sort of dropped it. And didn't start playing again until I was in my 30s, really seriously. I mean, I would follow it here and there, but that's when I started picking up again, back in my 30s. And then here I am. I've been playing in USCF tournaments since then. So, but, yeah, it was a long gap, but I started out when I was about 11 years old.
So when you started playing again, was that when Fisher played his second match against Baske, or?
Yeah, it was about the same time around there. I think that might have, that, you know, psychologically, that might have piqued my interest again and might have gotten me going again and started to take a little more seriously than before, you know, actually join the Federation and start playing in some of the tournaments. So it was about that time around that era.
Uh-huh. So, speaking of Fisher, you have a tournament coming up this weekend. Today's May 15th or the 14th. So
right.
It's a week from today. Do you want to tell us about the tournament you're having?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's May 21st and 22nd. We're having it at the Inn at Palmer Divide over in Palmer Lake, Colorado. Very beautiful setting. In fact, we have a lot of tournaments there scheduled for this year. This is actually Joe Frome's baby. He's the organizer. And he'll
okay.
be the assistant director, and I'll be directing it. But this is something that he is very passionate about. Bobby Fischer was one of his great idols in the chess world. And he had this tournament, I think, 2 years ago in Manitou Springs. And last year, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But this year, he decided to revive it, and he's actually putting some great effort into it and putting some good money behind it. One of the things that I think is kind of unique is that every dollar from all the entry fees is going to the prize fund. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so Joe is actually taking care of all the, you know, the room rental and all the extras. I mean, we'll have free coffee there both mornings. So,
oh, great.
It's going to be kind of a big to-do, and that's something that Joe has, you know, sunk his heart and his wallet, so to speak, into it, and we're really looking forward to it. We've already got some good pre-registrations going, and like I said, it'll be the 21st and 22nd, and we expect to have a really good, a player's type of ambiance, you know. I mean, a little bit more upscale, but it's nice and relaxing. We want the players to relax and enjoy the tournament, and so that's why we're having a little bit of extras and stuff like that, too. And they're also going to get a personalized table card, so it's a little something. So they get their name in their rating on there, so they have, you know, a little monitor on the table that they can use, and they can take home with them afterwards. So we expect to have a nice time there. It should be really, really good.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I saw you. You even have an ad in Chess Life. I just got my issue the other day, and yeah, that's great. And nice thing too is that it's close to the Denver people and the Colorado Springs people.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we're having it here at the Inn at Palmer Divide with all the tournaments we're having this year. It's because it's a good central location, and like you said, between Denver. And even points in Pueblo, too, of some of the Pueblo players. I've already got a few registrations from Pueblo players coming up, too. So it's a good central location. It's not that far off the freeway. So we think everybody who shows up will have a good time there.
Well, that's great. I mean, I know I'm you know, I really appreciate when there's a nice plain sight. And lately, there's been a little bit of controversy, if you want to call it that, about some of the plain events that, you know, people are playing at, and the Colorado Tour thing. And do you have any thoughts or comments on that?
Well, it's the big thing right now in the last few issues of The Informant. We've had some people, you know, make their comments. I mean, it's not, they're not, I don't think they're mean-spirited. I think they're just trying to say, hey, let's have these tournaments in a location that's more applicable to the players. I mean, and that's what, for me, as personally as a player, that's what I enjoy. I want to play in a nice place, have a reasonable amount of quiet, that sort of thing. But then that's what's happening right now. We've got a lot of people for and against, but again, it becomes kind of your own personal taste. And there's really nothing wrong with having a tournament here or there. I mean, it's just, you know, it depends on what the organizer and how often, how much they want to go and put into it. But the one thing is, I don't know, the Pueblo location in particular people are talking about right now. But
right.
I just don't, you know, some people, I've had comments, people say they love the place. And, of course, you have other people saying, well, maybe we shouldn't have a tour event there. Well, the thing is, if you don't want to play, don't play. I mean, that's your option. But I commend Liz Wood and Jerry Meyer for having the tournaments down there. Pueblo, I mean, that's the great avenue for chess players who, you know, don't want to travel with Springs or wherever to play. But it's one of those things that, I mean, right now it's because of the tour, the way the tour is set up. I think maybe it needs to be looked at and probably revised. And I've heard comments, what have you, either way. We can have maybe two different types, you know, one with longer tournament time controls, and one with shorter time controls, that sort of thing. But to say, hey, you can't have a tour event here because of this location, I mean, unless it's, you know, outside by the train tracks, I mean, I don't see why there should be a problem, you know. I mean, yeah, I can understand if you're having it outside by an airport or something like that, too. That'd be kind of a problem. But I guess it just probably needs to be looked at, and it's one of the things that's right now that some players are talking about. But again, I commend any organizer and tournament director who wants to hold tournaments, and it's their option to make the way the rules are set right now. It's their option to, you know, have those tour events. So I guess
it has
to be discussed, I guess, and probably come to a consensus of how it really wants to be set up now. Because I think the rules when they were set up was quite a few years ago, and maybe it needs to be looked at again. But at least the discussion has started, and so hopefully we'll get to a point where players and organizers and directors will come together with consensus and say, hey, this is the way things should be. Yeah.
Right. And, I mean, I think in the end, I mean, it's going to come down to, you know, you have certain people who they're going to play every weekend no matter what, no matter where it is, whether it's a tour event or not. And in the end, those are the people that are going to win the Colorado Tour. And, so, I mean, I personally don't have a problem with the Pueblo tournaments being tour events. And,
right, and what's happening in Pueblo is not exactly, you know, 100 people are not showing up playing there. And there's,
right.
there's actually an article on the CSCA website, coloradochess.com. Randy Reynolds wrote how the points are calculated. And one of the criteria is the number of players and, you know, their ratings and so forth. So I encourage people to look on that and read that article. Maybe they get their, you know, get the perspective that maybe, you know, okay, a couple has tour events and they're not really that huge and what have you. And you might like the location, but it's not going to, you're not going to get 100 points or what have you if you win the tournament. That's the thing. So,
exactly.
As well, too. So I encourage people to look at the article, read it, and just put things in perspective.
Yeah, I agree. But I found the whole thing kind of interesting, you know, and but I think your tournament sounds great, and so you organize three tournaments a year now, is that?
Yeah, like I said, Joe's doing this one, and I'm organizing the other three. The one in August is the Monument Open, it'll be the third annual one, same location. In September, we're doing a Game 29, a little one-day event there at the same location, September 24th, I believe. And then in the first weekend of October is going to be the Tri-Lakes Open, which actually is going to be using, quite coincidentally, the Bobby Fischer time control, where it's a game in 90 with a 30-second increment from one. So.
Oh, okay. I've never.
We did it last year. It was an experiment to see what would happen. We actually got a pretty good, decent turnout. And the games actually didn't run over or anything like that, and we didn't really have any incidents like that. So we decided to go ahead and do it again this year, and for however long we want to. But it's actually a pretty good time control, and I played it a few times myself, and I actually enjoy it. So.
Yeah, I've never tried it. That sounds fun. I mean, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, you can add more time basically in the beginning of your game, than have that time saved up and use it for the end game, like where it was supposed to be, like how Fisher wanted it. So it's a good kind of control, and we're going to try it again this year. So,
right. So are there going to be any Bobby Fisher themes at this tournament this weekend, or any?
Yeah, actually, Joe has got some pictures made up. He's going to have some displays.
Oh, cool.
That sort of thing. He's got some other the prize fund also is going to be supplemented, probably something like, you know, absolute if you win clear first in a certain section, you might get an extra few dollars. But right now that fund has $750 added to it. So not only will you have the entry fees, you know, 100% entry fees being added to the prize fund, but you can have up to more than that with the $750, depending on how Joe wants to set it up. He'll decide that on the day of the tournament, but yeah, look at it that way too. So, but yeah, he's gonna have. I think he's gonna have some paintings and, you know, pictures and some memorabilia, that sort of thing too. So it is a Bobby Fischer themed type event. So.
Well, that's great. I just read. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm more than halfway through the new Bobby Fischer book that's out by Brady. Have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, actually, my wife got it for me. She was waiting at an airport, waiting for connecting flight, and she bought it for me. It was kind of nice of her. By the way, I think you're the one who recommended it to her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she asked you about that, and I think you said, "Yeah, get him this book for a little gift."
On Facebook, right?
I'm about a quarter way through it, and it's actually a very good book. There's some things in there that I didn't know about him, especially his early life. So, if anybody's out there listening to this, by all means. I recommend that book wholeheartedly. It's really informative about him.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, it's pretty easy read. I mean, it's not like going through my great predecessors or something where there's a million games and annotations and analysis. I mean, it's just basically a story. So it's
it is. And Brady did a really good job. It's basically a story about his life. I mean, it's a biography of his life. So. Yeah, if you're looking for game annotations, that sort of thing, it's not going to happen. But yeah, it's a very good book.
Definitely. Let's talk about your experiences as being editor of the Colorado Chess Informer. I think you've been doing an outstanding job on that.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that.
How'd you end up with that? Getting involved with that.
Yeah, my the first issue I edited was the October 2009, and I like I said, I've been a member of the CSCA for a number of years now, and I knew Randy Reynolds, who was the previous editor, and was getting a little burned out with it, and he was looking for somebody else to take it over. And I had toyed with the idea a few years earlier, but I took it more seriously that year, and I started doing some templates and what have you, if I was selected to do the editorship, that I would make it look and so forth. Anyway, so I was two or three issues before, and then I started toying with the idea. So you know what, I do the company newsletter. I work for a company that has a newsletter that's printed every month.
Okay.
And so I'm familiar with putting something together like this. So I decided that. After I got the templates out, I said, you know what, maybe I can do this. So I decided to send Randy an email and say, hey, you know, I would be interested. So he sent me back an email, says, hey, you know, I would love to have you there. Is there something you've done before, what have you? And I sent him a copy of the newsletters that I was doing for my company. And he liked it. And he said, took a leap of faith. And said, okay, when would you like to start? And you want to wait till the January issue? And I said, no, let's go in right away. So I went in and got through the October issue and got that published, and had a lot of positive responses, and I want to thank everybody for their kind comments. And that's how I got started into it. And so I was approved by the board. It is a volunteer position, but it has to be approved by the board of the CSCA. So they approved me, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah, I was thinking you must have had some kind of professional experience, because, I mean, you know, your newsletters and your magazine, you know, they look very professional. Are you using Microsoft Publisher, or are you using Adobe, or?
No, but what I use for the magazine, what I use for all the publications I do is Publisher. It's something
okay.
I find very easy to work with, and you know, you can put in text, put in pictures, and manipulate them. It's pretty easy, and that's the program that I use. And then once I get it all set up like that, I convert it over to PDF.
Right.
And we send it to the publisher, and the printer uses that, and that's how the magazine gets published.
Okay. So what would you say is your favorite part about doing the magazine?
Putting the articles together. I mean, we get a lot of great articles from a lot of the players here. I mean, the way I see myself, I'm just putting the thing together. We get a lot of good articles that come in. The best part is just putting it together. Once I get all the articles in, I get an idea of how I want it to flow. And once that comes together, and I say, okay, do that. This is the way it is. There's a certain order, you know, so to speak, of how the magazine's laid out. And that's a joy. Joy is when it's done and I see the end result. That I enjoy very much. That's the best part for me. But putting
right.
it together is a real joy for me. I mean, I enjoy putting things together and organizing them, so to speak, and then adding pictures, some relevant pictures, what have you. But just seeing it come together, and that's not something that I do in one day. Obviously, you can't. But
sure,
you see the progression as the days go on, and when you do see the final product, it makes you smile. So
yeah.
I enjoy it. I enjoy it, and I will do as long as I can, as long as the board wants me to do it, because I'm not bored with it. So I love doing it.
Oh, that's good. So you're not feeling the burnout?
Yeah, I'm not. Randy, I know he's been doing it for years. He's been doing it for years and years, and I can understand being burned out with it. But I'm sure it'll probably come to a point that I will get burned out. But right now, I just love doing it, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And again,
well,
getting the great articles from all the players, including yourself too, with your tactics time. I love putting that in the magazine. I think people enjoy seeing that.
Oh, thanks. So, what would you say is the hardest part of the editor job?
The hardest part would probably try to make things fit. I mean, I don't like white space on pages. It's just one of those
right.
things. So, you either have to add pictures. Then you have to look for find pictures that are relevant to an article or something like that. I mean, you can't put a picture of a circus or something in there, but if the article's not talking about circuses, playing chess in a circus, something like that. So
right.
that's probably the toughest part, is trying to fill up the white space and trying to make sure the article flows, that sort of thing. It's probably the most toughest. I mean, it's not overwhelming, but it's just something you have to work with. And it usually, like I said, by the time the magazine's ready to go, be published, I've got everything set pretty good. So, but that's
right.
the most difficult part, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for anybody who would be interested or who's publishing their own magazines? Do you get a copy of the other states' magazines? I know when I was editor, a couple states would send me their magazine, and I would send them our magazine. It was kind of like an exchange, but
yeah.
I don't know if.
No, I don't get any of them right now. I mean, I've gone online and seen some of their online publications, and it's something I talked with Buck Buchanan's the treasurer of the CSCA, and he was saying, he recommended this to me, he said, hey, contact the other publishers of the various state magazines and, do an exchange program or something, even if it's, electronic or what have you, and that is a good idea. I mean, something I'll be looking forward to doing here probably in a few months is contacting the various editors of the state magazines around the country. And it's a good idea, and that way you can share information, just share ideas, that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
as well as maybe send a copy to the USCF, and, maybe they might have a section on their website that they can set up. They can say, hey, here's the various state magazines. But it's a good idea, and it's something I'll be pursuing here probably in a month or so. and trying to get an exchange program, so to speak, with the magazine, because I think it's good that other editors can see how other editors do their work, because sometimes you can get caught into a rut and your style can get sort of boring, that sort of thing. So
right.
Any new ideas, something that's fresh that you can get just by looking at another magazine can always help out and just benefit, you know, your particular state magazine. So, yeah, it's something we're going to pursue in the future here, and I think it would be a good idea.
So I know one of the topics that's come up about the magazine is going to an online version, or
mm-hmm.
I guess the printing costs are going up. And
yeah.
Do you have any comments on that whole thing?
Yeah, it's one of the things that's been coming up in the September meeting, the annual meeting that the CSCA has. And it's something the membership needs to think about. Printing costs are rising, I mean, as with anything. And for our little nonprofit organization, you know, it's a lot of money. I mean, you may not think that 4 issues of black and white paper would cost that much, but it does. And so the option is we can make an electronic version, have it available on the website, and maybe only have it available to the membership where they have to go on and sign in a code or what have you, and that way they have access to it. That's one of the ways we're thinking about, but again, I want to encourage the readership to think about it and to voice their opinions, not only in the magazines, in this magazine for the next couple of issues, but also at the meeting. It becomes a cost thing, basically. It's going to rise, and it's going to keep on rising, so we just have to do the balancing act. Now, the things I've been hearing, of course, people like that idea of having it online, having an electronic version. With an electronic version, I can make it full color. You know, I can expand it without costing
right.
anybody any more money. The other flip side of it is, of course, a lot of people like to have that magazine in their hand, and you know, they like to get it in the mail. It makes them, you know, makes them feel good. They like that too. So, again,
right.
As with the tour, it becomes a balancing act. Which way do we go? And we probably can do both. Maybe send out a printed issue, a black and white issue, to those who want it, and then we can have the full color issue on the website for the rest of the members who want it that way. So, a lot of things to consider. Nothing to think about as far as how the magazine wants to be published. So, again, I encourage the membership to think about it and, you know, voice your opinions on it. But for my personal opinion, if I was just a, you know, just somebody who wasn't producing the magazine and just as a member, I have no problems with being online. And it'd be kind of nice to see a full color edition. That way, I could print out whatever page I want to print out. You know, that sort of thing. But that's my personal opinion. Again. By all means, voice your own, and hopefully we can get this thing in a situation where everybody will be happy. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Fred. Go ahead. What were you going
to say? Well, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, we have to do a balancing act and see what works best for the association. I mean, think of it that way. I mean, that money that could be saved not publishing it could be put towards, say, Scholastic. Could be used towards tour money. I mean, all sorts of things we get we can use for that money. So it's just something else to think about too.
Right. Well, thanks, Fred, for joining me today, and I wish you a lot of luck with the tournament this weekend. That sounds really exciting. And
thank you.
Keep up the great work with the informant. So if people wanted to get in touch with you, you have a website, and what's the URL for that?
Yeah, the website, actually on the website I have, you can see past issues of the informant on there as well as tournament announcements. And the past issues on there are in color. I have colorized it. The website address is Eagle and King, all one word. .webs, webs.com. So we've got things that are term announcements, got past issues of the informant, as well as a monthly magazine or monthly newsletter that I do for the East Coast Daily Tournament that we have every Wednesday. So you can go on there and just take a look around and print out whatever you want. I mean, certainly free to go ahead and do that if you want.
Yeah, those are really great. And if someone wanted to get on your mailing list, because I know you mail out the copies of that, should they just email you or?
Yeah, they can email me. My editor email address is spell F-E, that's S-P-E-L-L-F-E, at hotmail.com. And if you want to get them on mailing list for the monthly newsletter, I can do that. And every month you'll get the results of that East Coast LA tournament. So by all means, send in your address, and I'll be more than happy to send you out a copy.
Okay, well, excellent, Fred. Well, thanks again for joining me, and I'll post your website link on my tacticstime.com page, and I'll post this MP3 on there, and they're also available on iTunes now, so people can subscribe on iTunes and just search for Tactics Time, and it should come up, and you can subscribe. So.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the show, and I look forward to all the stuff you do. You do a lot of good stuff yourself, too. I enjoy your websites, and I listened to the podcast you had with Anthea. That was a good interview, too. So you keep it
Cool. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, Fred. Well, thanks again.
All right. See you later.
Okay. All right. Bye.